John chapter 6, verses 53 through 71. This is the reading of God's word. So Jesus said to them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in yourselves. He who eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up on the last day. For my flesh is true food, and my blood is true drink. He who eats my flesh and drinks my blood abides in me, and I in him. As the living Father sent me, and I live because of the Father, so he who eats me, he also will live because of me. This is the bread which came down out of heaven, not as the fathers ate and died. He who eats it, this bread will live forever." These things he said in the synagogue as he taught in Capernaum. Therefore, many of his disciples, when they heard this, said, "This is a difficult statement. Who can listen to it?" But Jesus, conscious of his disciples' grumbled at this, said to them, "Does this cause you to stumble? What then if you see the Son of Man ascending to where he was before? It is the Spirit who gives life. The flesh profits nothing. The words that I have spoken to you are spirit and are life. But there are some of you who do not believe." For Jesus knew from the beginning who they were who did not believe, and who it was that would betray him. And he said, he was saying, "For this reason I have said to you, that no one can come to me unless it has been granted him from the Father." As a result of this, many of his disciples withdrew and were not walking with him anymore. So Jesus said to the 12, "You do not want to go away also, do you?" Simon Peter answered him, "Lord, to whom shall we go? You have words of eternal life. We have believed and have come to know that you are the Holy One of God." Jesus answered them, "Did I myself not choose you, the 12, and yet one of you is a devil?" Now he meant Judas, the son of Simon Iscariot, for he, one of the 12, was going to betray him. Amen. Please be seated. Let us pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank you. Thank you for this precious time of hearing your word. We ask that you would grant us an ear to hear your word through your word. Oh Father, we pray that your word will be preached correctly, and all of us who are gathered here will hear your voice through your word, have the right understanding, and by your grace that we would believe your word. And not only just believe, but obey your word. Let us be more and more like your Son. And let us live for the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. Bless us, God, and receive all the glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We've been looking at John chapter 6 for many, many, many months. Whenever we have the Lord's Supper. But today we will finish this chapter, John chapter 6. Through the event of the feeding of the 5,000 with 5 barley loaves and loaves of bread and 2 fish, Jesus has taught the people at that time and us that the new Exodus has begun. He has taught the the people then and us now that this new Exodus, the perfect Exodus, is not just coming out of one place of this world and going to the other place of this same world. But this Exodus that Jesus is leading is the Exodus from this world to be delivered into heaven, the kingdom of God. Exodus from sin to eternal life, and Exodus from Satan to God. But the sinners only seek this world. And even when they seek Savior, they seek Savior only in terms of this world and what the worldly things that they think He might give them. So these people, even though they say, "Let us make Him king," you know, at the first glance, this might sound really good, that they wanted Jesus to be their king. But in saying that, they deny who Jesus really is and what He has come to accomplish, because what they wanted was this world. They want Jesus to be their king who will give them this world. But Jesus came to give His people the other world, heaven. You and I were the same as these people. There is none righteous, not even one. And out of these sinners, God has chosen His people before the foundation of the universe to be His sons, to be the citizens of His kingdom, heaven. And God leads them to Jesus Christ to receive Him and to believe in Him. And through faith that He has given them, He unites them to Jesus Christ to be His sons. Thus, there are ultimately two kinds of people in this world. You know, the world has their own divisions, but the Bible only has one division. And that division is Jesus Christ. Two kinds of people in the whole universe. First, people who are united to Christ, people who belong to Christ, and people who belong to this world, who will be judged with this world when Jesus comes back. Jesus Christ is the source and the substance of the eternal life. He alone gives the eternal life, and He Himself is eternal life. It is to know Him, that is eternal life. It is to have the sweet fellowship of heaven with Jesus Christ, that is the eternal life. It is not just eternally existing, but eternally living in communion with our Lord Jesus Christ, that is eternal life. And Jesus is the true head of His people. He represented His people in everything that He has done for them. Thus, His people are united to Jesus Christ, united to Him. And they receive Him. You and I, we receive Him into us by eating His body and drinking His blood. And that reality, eating His body and drinking His blood, is our spiritual reality. And that reality is witnessed by eating the bread and drinking the cup during the Lord's Supper. Obviously, we're not really drinking His blood and eating His flesh. But these elements are symbols of His body and blood. Thus, as we eat the bread and drink the cup, we witness our heavenly reality that we are united to Him. That He, Jesus, is our true drink and Jesus is our true food. What does that mean, true drink and true food? If you want to live here, you need to eat, you need to drink. Without food and drink, you die. Our eternal life, you want to live eternally, you have to eat true food and drink true drink. And that is Jesus Christ. Otherwise, if you don't eat Jesus and if you don't drink Jesus, then you die forever. It's pretty simple. And the fact that we are united to Christ, the reality that we have drank the true drink and eaten the true food, we witness during the Lord's Supper. We possess Jesus and we possess the perfect and complete satisfaction in Jesus Christ. And because of our union with Jesus, we now live His life. His life is our life. Your life is full of sin. His life is righteous life. And His life is given to you. You could claim His life as your life because you are united to Him. So you could claim that you have lived the perfect life even because He lived perfect life, but He did that for you in union with you. And because of our union with Him, you and I, we live His life. And because He has lived a unique life in this world, you and I, we too live the unique life. A life that the world doesn't like to live. They don't want to live like Christ. He didn't even have a place to lay His head. But by God's grace, and this is foolishness to the world, that you and I, who are united to Him, it is our honor to live the very life of Jesus Christ. That's why no matter how much we try to explain this to non-Christians, they will not get it. They have no ability to get it unless God recreates them as a new creation. You know, suffering and death, natural man is just obviously, naturally, you don't like that. But people who are united to Christ, they're willing to suffer for Christ. Even with joy, suffer for Christ. This is what separates them from the world. But this is not that, you know, new. Even in the world, even at sinful world level, if you love somebody, you will willing to live suffering life if it is to help that person or if it means to be with that person. Even at the sinful world, this concept exists. And here we are, we love Christ, and think about it. If that is what we really, if we really, really love Christ, what will you not do for Him? Obviously, Jesus loved you, and there was nothing that He would not do for you, even dying for you. This is what love is all about. And Christian love is not of just talking, loving with lips only. He lived utterly unique life in this world. Thus, you and I, we live this unique life in this world. We are different from the people who belong to this world. You and I have been set apart from this world. Christ has chosen us out of this world. And how does this separation, this setting apart, being witnessed in this world? How? Through the membership of His church. Do you see how you are separated, set apart from the world, even as we gather here as a church to worship? Do you see the reality how you are not of the world? Because the world is too busy enjoying the world out there. They have no interest in worshiping God. Through membership of the church, you witness that you are set apart from the world. This is how you show that you do not belong to this world, but that you belong to heaven, you belong to God. Of course, this distinction is not manifested perfectly until Jesus comes back. You know, when Jesus comes back, it will be completely clear who belongs to heaven and who belongs to hell. But until then, this distinction, even though we try our best to make it clear, but it's never perfect. Thus, we have false members in the church. Even in the church, there are false members. That reality is shown in verses 70 and 71. Jesus answered them, "Did I myself not choose you, the 12, and yet one of you is a devil, Judas." And this shows the reality that until Jesus comes back, that even the people in the church, some of them are not believers, even though they are members of the church, because they say they believe and we accept. We accept their confession at face value. We do not examine their hearts, because once we do that, then we're playing God. If you say you believe, then we accept. But you might be lying. You know, think about it. When you confess Jesus, I don't go, "Oh man, don't lie to me, man. You don't mean that." No, I. What if you do really mean it? See, I can't do that. So whatever you say, we receive at face value. That's how you become members. But even when Jesus gathered his 12 disciples, there's one false one. And he did that to show us that in the church, this distinction between the church and the world is not perfect until he comes back. But when Jesus returns, it will be perfect, because no one in heaven will be false members. Nobody. But the truth is that Jesus sets his people apart from this world. And church membership is witnessing that reality. And he sets them apart from this world, and to them, Jesus gives himself. And as Jesus gives himself to them, they receive him into themselves. And how is this reality being witnessed? The Lord's Supper. Now, Lord's Supper, we've been studying so many times now. It witnesses so many different heavenly realities. But today, do you see Jesus? If you see that with faith, do you see Jesus giving himself to you? Do you see Jesus giving his life to you? And that is exactly what Jesus is giving you. And his people who have been set apart from this world, we receive Jesus. As you come to the Lord's table, that is what you are witnessing. We witness that we are the ones who have received Jesus into ourselves by eating and drinking the blood and body, but we witness that by eating and drinking the bread and the cup. We witness that we are the ones who have eaten and drank his body and his blood. Thus we witness that we have received him. We are now united to him. Do you remember what we read from verse 55? For my flesh is true food and my blood is true drink. He who eats my flesh and drinks my blood abides in me and I in him. The union. As the living Father sent me and I live because of the Father, so he who eats me, he also will live because of me. This is the bread which came down out of heaven, not as the fathers ate and died, like in the Old Testament manna. He who eats this bread, Jesus Christ, will live forever. The picture of the church is drawn for us in John chapter 6 by 12 disciples. The church confesses Jesus as the Lord and the Savior, verses 68 and 69. Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have words of eternal life. We have believed that and have come to know that you are the Holy One of God. But the world, they're different. Verses 41 and 60 and 66. 41, therefore the Jews were grumbling about him because he said, I am the bread that came down out of heaven. Verse 60, therefore many of his disciples, when they heard this, said, this is a difficult statement, difficult teaching. Actual word means offensive teaching. Who can listen to it? 66, and as a result of this, many of his disciples, and here the word disciples is not referring to 12 disciples, this is self-acclaimed disciples of Christ. As a result of this, many of his disciples withdrew and were not walking with him anymore. They left. They leave. Jesus says, does what I say to you stumbles you? If you really think about it, what Jesus says is the gospel. And many times when the true gospel is preached, it becomes a burden to so many people. It doesn't give them joy. What? I have to suffer for Christ? Why is that good news? Only the people who are united to Christ understand this. That it is even our honor to live the very life Christ has lived. Yes. I mean, I'd be sad, but it will be honor if my son or daughter or even my congregation, one of you, dies for the glory of God. It will be my honor to even be connected to you. Know you. You know, I always give this example, right? When you watch those samurai movies, you know, you are one tribe and the other tribe is attacking you. And the king is concerned, you know, they're coming, they're attacking us, we're all going to die. And you see those samurai, man, those brave men, they come out to king and says, I'll go fight. It will be my honor to die for you, die for this country. Even at worldly level, they get it. But when it comes to Christianity, man, people just don't get it. They just don't get it. Die for Christ? What are you talking about? I came to church so that I will be blessed with this world. You know, make me rich and healthy, you know. What is this talking about dying and suffering? Come on. Because that is exactly what Jesus is saying. Drink my blood. Meaning what? Be united to me in my life. And my life was death. They understood that. That's why they all left. They went home. Because they don't like what they're hearing. This is offensive teaching. This is difficult teaching, they say. And I pray to God. I sincerely pray to God that the gospel that is being preached in this church will not be burden to you, but actually bring joy to you. Because that will be the saddest thing if the gospel makes you sad. See the difference? The true church says, to whom shall we go, Jesus? Even if it means die with you, to whom shall we go? You have the word of eternal life. Isn't that interesting? I want you to notice this, the difference between the true church and the fake one. It's all about the word, how they take the word, the gospel. For true disciples, this is the word of eternal life. To whom shall we go? You have the word of eternal life. But that same word is offensive teaching to non-Christians, the fake Christians. The same, the very word that true disciple says, because of that word, I cannot go anywhere else. But that same word causes the fake ones to leave. Offensive teaching. I don't like what I'm hearing. And they go. And Jesus doesn't stop them. Seriously. Jesus doesn't say, oh, no, don't go. I'll change my message. I'll do something that you like so that you could stay. Please stay. I don't see that like so many churches do today, just to make them stay. They even change the message. Change it to something they want to hear, not the true gospel. No. These people who left, they are self-proclaimed disciples who are not members of the church. By not joining the church, they leave, which is the body of Christ. They witness they are not united to Christ. Do you see how you witness that you are united to Christ by being a member of the church and by participating in the Lord's Supper? If you are not a member of the church, how are you going to witness that? How? How do you show to the whole world that you are Christian? How? There's only one way. You know, you have to understand this very, very clearly. You know, so many people say, I'm going to be a good doctor to show that I'm Christian. How are you going to do that? I'm going to be a good lawyer to show them I'm Christian. How are you going to do that? Because there are non-Christian who are good doctors, better than good Christian doctors. Non-Christian can show to the whole world that they are good doctors. By showing that you are a good doctor, how are you going to show that you're Christian? Man, some people just don't get it. Only way you could show that you're Christian is all about the Lord's Day. You keep it holy and you come to worship and participate in the Lord's Supper. This is the only way you could do it. Any other way, non-Christian will do better than you. Oh, I'm going to be so good to these patients, and I'm not even going to charge. You know how many non-Christians who do that already? They're good people, non-Christians. So how can you say by doing those things that non-Christian can do, that you show that you're Christian? Nonsense. People just don't understand it. It's all about the church and worshiping and keeping this holy day holy. That's how you show that you do not belong to the world. Now the members of the church are to live the very life of their Lord Jesus Christ, and they are to do the ministry of their Lord Jesus Christ. What is Jesus' work? What is it? It is to give Jesus to God's people. That's as simple as that. Giving himself. Through its ministry, the church gives Jesus to his people. Through the ministry of the word and the sacraments, the church gives Jesus to his people. Do you understand? Church is not a social group. You don't come to church for social things. This is where you feed upon Jesus and you drink his blood, you eat his body. This is the ministry of the church. And how do we give you Jesus? Through the ministry of the word and the ministry of the sacraments. To Peter who confessed, verses 68 and 69, Jesus says, "What? Feed my sheep and tend my lambs," in chapter 21 of John. This is the job of the church. Through the word and the sacraments, the church feeds God's people, God's sheep, and through the discipline by the session, the church tends God's lambs. Thus, through the ministry of the church, its members live in Christ. The ministry of the church is the ministry of Jesus Christ. Jesus enables his people to live his life, and he does that through the ministry of the church, the word, and the sacraments, and the discipline of the church. He uses people like Peter. He is not worthy. No one is worthy. He is not able. No one is able. Peter said, "I'm going back to fishing, seeking the old life." But Jesus Christ, he comes, appoints him to feed and tend God's sheep. God's lambs. He sends his spirit to his church. He calls you my lambs. You are his lambs. And he feeds you with the heavenly food, which is himself. The church's work is exactly this. Feeding God's people of Jesus Christ. The ministry of the church is this. Feeding Jesus Christ. The word and the sacraments, feeding Jesus, disciplining, leading God's people according to his word. All of you, please, all of you, demand this from your church. But don't demand anything else. Because if it is not about Jesus Christ, you could get it out there in the world. Church is not place for that kind of thing. The leaders of the church, and of course all the other members of the church, we must live the life of Jesus Christ. A life that forsakes the world, a life that is forsaken by the world, a life of death to the world. Do you remember what he says to Peter 21:18? Truly, truly, I say to you, when you were younger, you used to gird yourself and walk wherever you wished. But when you grow old, you will stretch out your hands, pointing to his death on the cross. Even Peter died on the cross. Someone else will gird you and bring you where you do not wish to go. He says the same thing when he says to us, if you want to follow me, he says, deny yourself. So you will go to places where you don't wish to go. Deny yourself and take up your crosses and follow me, Jesus says. Brothers and sisters, we are following Jesus. We are going to him. We have no other place to go. Lord, to whom shall we go? You have words of eternal life. Whom have I in heaven but you? And besides you, I desire nothing on earth. This is the confession of you, God's people, the true church. We are headed to heaven where our Lord is preparing a place for us. And this world is not our home. Our focus is not on this world. And this world is not even worthy for us. What are we witnessing as we participate in the Lord's Supper? As we eat the bread and drink the cup, what are we witnessing? We are eating and drinking the body and the blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. As we do, we witness our union with him. That he gives himself to you and you have received him into you. Jesus and all of us, we are forever united. Now his life is our life. We are witnessing how we are separated from this world. We are dead to this world, and this world is dead to us. All that is being witnessed as we come to the Lord's table. Galatians 2:20. Let me read two verses from Galatians and we'll wrap this up today. Galatians chapter 2, verse 20. I have been crucified with Christ, and it is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me, and the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself up for me. I have been crucified with Christ. You also died with him, but you also have been resurrected with him. But if you go to Galatians 6, verse 14, but may it never be that I would boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, through which the world has been crucified to me and I to the world. The world is dead to me and I am dead to this world. Do you understand what has happened? When Jesus died for you and when you died with him, that you are dead to the world and the world is dead to you. It means you have come out of Egypt and you cannot go back to Egypt because your home is now at the promised land. You don't go back. God saves you out of this world and delivered you into heaven. And we dare not and we do not want to go back to the world. It has no relationship whatsoever to us. We're dead. Thus, we are not able, we cannot live our lives according to this world any longer. We have been crucified to the world. We have been united to Jesus' death and life and his resurrection and his glory. That is what is being witnessed as you come to the Lord's table today. That has already happened. You must believe. And if you do not live according to that reality, then you must repent. Thus we come to this table repenting. Understand? Examine yourself. Repent of your sins. Otherwise, you're mocking his death. And we dare not do that. How can we live that sinful life and without repentance come joyfully to the table and eat and drink his body and blood? How can we do that? Thus we repent as we come to the Lord's table. Let us pray to him. Heavenly Father, we thank you. We thank you that you give yourself to us, and we gladly receive you. We thank you that we are united to your Son, Jesus Christ, that he is united to us, and we are united to him. Thus, his life is our life. We live the very life that our Lord Jesus Christ has lived. As people of God who receive Jesus, let us live for him. Let us live for his glory. Bless us, God, and receive all the glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.